محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We hope everyone's well, inshallah. We're nearing the end of Ramadan. May Allah keep our spirits high and our energy firm. And may Allah allow us to perform more good deeds before the month is over, inshallah. We have a little bit left from this surah, just today's portion and tomorrow's one, inshallah. And so just to summarize what we spoke about yesterday, that the idea that the Quran, and you'll notice it throughout Surah Hud, it was also in the beginning of Surah Hud, this concept of being concerned about yourself. So if everyone is concerned about themselves, then in reality, the entire world would be a beautiful place. But the fact and the matter is that people often don't care about what they do. They don't care about what evils they cause in the world, what corruption they do. So if the fact is that if everyone's concerned about themselves or their own families, you know, there would never even be a need of people going on and helping each other, encouraging each other. Everyone would just become better. So the Quran really wants to stress that point, that everyone should just focus on themselves and develop themselves. And that's the first thing we learned about yesterday's talk. The second thing is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge and no one else. So it's not the case where I'm trying to please this person or impress so-and-so. Allah ta'ala is my judge. Allah is the one I'll go back to. And Allah is the center of my life. So He's the judge that I will be answering to at the end. No one else. So we should be focused with Him. And then it told us to do istiqama, which means again to try your best to stand. So every day we're working to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way our lives are, right? That every day is a day that's closer to meeting Allah. Similarly, every day is a day which I spiritually get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So I never stop moving. I keep increasing. I keep developing myself. And then the fourth thing that we learned was the idea of treating every Muslim with love and respect. Because everyone, like if they're a Muslim, they're trying and they're making tawbah, right? So they're repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because they are trying, we have to show them that love. Because we don't know that if we start to act arrogant or boast and say that, look at me, how great I am, look how low they are, then we're treating them the same way the people of Nuh alayhi salam treated the Nuh alayhi salam's followers. So we don't want to be people like that. We want to make sure that we are always within the middle of when we deal with our believing brothers and sisters. And so the thing I was trying to stress yesterday was that the Quran actually in Surah Hud, I actually started off with Nuh, then Hud, then Salih, then Shu'aib alayhi salam. And also talk about Lut alayhi salam right after Salih alayhi salam. The thing is that when we're looking at these ayats, it's actually in the reverse order. Allah Ta'ala, He highlights Shu'aib alayhi salam in ayah 109. He highlights Salih alayhi salam in 110. Hud alayhi salam in 111. And then Nuh alayhi salam 112. So in reverse order, Allah Ta'ala deals with the prophets that He just spoke about. So this again is it's hard to do for a human being. I almost could consider it to be impossible to make sure that you remember these things and then you highlight it in the reverse order. And thereafter, make sure to focus on the most important prophet that was mentioned, which is Lut alayhi salam, because of the fact that he was in a very dark moment in his life. Yet at that time, he never looked around. He only relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll see that within those ayat. I was also trying to highlight yesterday. And so we have two more ayat, which Allah ta'ala, in this section, He speaks about things that we need to do. And this is probably my most favorite section of this entire surah. Okay, it is a part that's very close to my heart. And I hope by the end of this, you love this part too. Because ayat 114 to about 117 or 118. Actually, till the end. I love this part so much. I recite it in salah a lot of the times, mashallah. وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُرَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, establish salah at both ends of the day and in the hours of the night. Okay? So establish salah at both ends of the day and in the hours of the night. When you're listening to this, automatically your heart is telling you, you're listening to this, you're telling yourself, what does it mean by the ends of the day? And what does it mean by the hours of the night? There's a big question here. And this question was the same question that was with the early Muslims, the Salaf, the early Mufassirin. Many have said, and their opinion was, it is regarding the obligatory prayers. And I always highlight the opinion of the people of the past, because their opinion is something which is completely sound. You know, there are people that are very close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so when they speak with a lot of wisdom, the way that a Muslim should speak. So they were almost of unanimous agreement that it's talking about the obligatory prayers. And so some of them have said that the end of the day, طرفي النهار, right, two ends of the day, are talking about Fajr time, because that's the beginning of the day, and Asr time, which is the end of the day. Others have said that maybe it's Fajr and Dhuhr, because, you know, the first part of the day is Fajr, and the second part of the day is Dhuhr, right, if you're thinking about it. And so they said that it could be possibly Fajr and Dhuhr. Some have said that the ends of the day are, you know, it starts with Dhuhr, it starts with Fajr, and ends with Maghrib. So this is a possibility of the Tarafayn Nahar, that this is the two ends of the day. And so some of them have said that the hours of the night could mean many things. So the hours of the night, they said it could be Maghrib, Isha. Some of them have said that it could be Isha and Witr. So in general, what they've said is that it's really referring to the five times daily prayers. Tarafayn Nahar, because of all these possibilities, it could be Fajr, Dhuhr, or Asr. And then the fact of Zulafa min al-layl, the hours of the night could mean Maghrib, Isha, Witr. It's really talking about all the obligatory prayers, all the mandatory prayers a person has to do. The Prophet ﷺ reported that he said the Zulfa, Zulfata, Zulfata al-layl, Maghrib al-Isha. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Zulfa, the two times, are Maghrib and Isha. So this is a strong indication that's talking about the obligatory prayers. And so I mention all this because I find that Muslims have a weird feeling when it comes to the five times prayers, especially those who are performing their prayers regularly. They look down at other Muslims who only pray five times. We undervalue these five times daily prayers, okay? We undervalue them. The five times daily prayers are extremely important. They're so vital, they're so critical. The Prophet ﷺ described prayer to be the head of iman, the head of faith, the head of a believer, okay? When it comes to a person praying five times, you should congratulate that person. You should be so happy for that person. MashaAllah, you're doing an amazing thing. Amazing thing, because the five times daily prayers are your key to Jannah. No amount of nafl, wallahi tallahi Allah qasam, I'm telling you, no amount of nafl could ever compare to the five times daily prayers. You can't tell me about any extra stuff you're doing in life. And if you're not praying your five times, there's a big problem here. You must recognize that if a Muslim is praying their five times, they are liable for Allah Ta'ala to forgive them. It's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where Allah Ta'ala takes an oath. He says, I swear by myself, I swear by my honor, that if a person, he prays his five times, I will admit him to Jannah. I will give him Jannah. So a person who's praying five times, mashallah, congratulations, brother or sister. You're doing something exceptional. The Prophet ﷺ himself had highlighted it, because these prayers are the ways that sins are forgiven. Why? Because the next part of this ayah, أَقِيم الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. It says to establish prayers at the end of the day, and hours in the night, because surely innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat, that surely good deeds, they erase bad deeds. Surely good deeds erase bad deeds. It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all these hadiths come under this ayah. Araitum law anna bi babi ahadikum nahran ghamran yaghtasilu fihi kull yawmin khams marrat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked a hypothetical question and said that perhaps, what do you all think, that if there was in front of every if there was in front of your doors a very nice river, a very beautiful river, and you took a shower, a person bathed in there five times every day, هَلْ يُبْقِي مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْئًا, would there remain from any filth on his body? Would there be any dirt left on his body? قَالُوا لَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, we'd say the same thing, no, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, قَالَ وَكَذَلِكَ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ, the Prophet said this is the five times daily prayers. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْخَطَايَا, Allah that removes and erases sins and mistakes through the five times daily prayers. A person who's praying five times, mashallah, they are people that are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, whatever mistakes happen within the middle, issues, problems, slips, whatever, they will be forgiven, inshallah. They will be forgiven, inshallah. Now, this is, again, understanding it from the fard component. If we're just thinking about the ayah talking about fard. I want to explain it in another way just so that we can understand what Allah ta'ala really wanted us to get from this ayah. Because explaining us five times daily prayers, may Allah give us all tawfiq and give us that, inshallah. But just to get a little bit of depth into this ayah, why it's so important. What is salah? Salah is, it is the word salwun or salatun, silatun. It is the idea of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your time to connect with Allah. It is your conversation with Allah. The Lord that created you, the Rabb that provides for you, everything that you receive in life is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get to stand in front of him, you finally get a chance to talk to him. This type of conversation that you have as a Muslim, no one in the world has. They can talk to God directly, and God is listening to everything that you say. These are private discussions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we're talking in salah, Understand, Allah is listening to every word and He hears your heart, even every single beat of your heart, and every single pain that comes out in your mind, Allah Ta'ala hears everything. Your salah is your conversation with Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we pray our five times daily prayers, they should be very intimate. These appointments with Allah, Allah said, I'm making sure to talk to you. And so I made an obligation on you that I want to talk to you these five times. So when you're talking to Allah, when you're in prayer, recognize we're talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day gets very tough. Everyone's day is hard. It's not, life is not really, it's not cupcakes and sweets every single day. The day gets tough. So what did Allah ta'ala tell us to do to make sure we can get through the day? Is that first, what do you do every morning? You start off by talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You thank Him for the fact that you could sleep. You thank Him for the fact you woke up from sleep. You thank Him for the fact you have an extra day. And you thank Allah ta'ala for everything. Say, ya Allah, today is my day. I started off with your name because I hope that everything will go well this day, inshallah. You make this dua every single morning. That's why you pray your Fajr Salah. You start off by talking to Him. And then at the end of the day, you get to talk to Him one more time. At Asr or Maghrib, you get to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you get to say, Allah, today was a very tough day. I'm very tired. I work so hard for my family. I'm trying to provide my best for them. I give my days for them. I give my nights for them, ya Rab. Allah, my children, ya Allah, my children, my wealth, my health, everything. Now you get to talk to Allah at the end of the day. So this idea of aqim as-salat tarafayn nahar, the fact that you're praying salahs at the end of the day is because of the fact that you want to make sure that you can get through the day. So Allah said, in order for you to function as a human being, as a true human being, I give you permission, you know, I give you my permission that I let you talk to me in the mornings. And at nighttime, before, when you get back from home, when you get to home after work, I let you talk to me there as well. So Allah Ta'ala says, to get you through the day, I made these two prayers for you. So that way you can get through everything. It's beautiful. And at nighttime, Allah Ta'ala says, Zulafa min al-layl. Let's look at this part. At nighttime, pray to Him. At nighttime, pray to Him. What does the word Zulfa mean? You know, Zulfa is the word used for closeness. So for us as Muslims who probably maybe went for Hajj, you probably heard of the place called Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa, the root word is Zulfa. Okay. Muzdalifa is called Muzdalifa because you're so close to the ground. If you note in Muzdalifa, there are no tents. There are no buildings, no structures. Where are you sleeping? You're sleeping straight on the ground. Because they said Muzdalifa is the closest that a person will be to his qabr, to the place that he will pass away in. So Muzdalifa is called that because you're getting so close to the ground. The zulfa of hair, the Prophet ﷺ had beautiful hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hair that they described it as zulfa because it would be hair close to his shoulder, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I stress this point for anyone, any guy that wants to grow out his hair. Obviously, sisters should grow out their hair beautiful. You know, hair is beauty, right? MashaAllah. The idea though that for men, if they want to grow out their hair to the sunnah length, try to make sure you don't go past the shoulders ever. I see these brothers, they grow out their hair and I look at them like, Bichara man, you look like a monkey, man, relax. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said what? That, you know, the limit for men is that it's up to their shoulders. And beyond that, that's not okay. That becomes in the domain or the realm of women. So make sure that men always cut their hair before their shoulders. And it's the Prophet's sunnah was always to keep it to its earlobes. But having said that, the word zulfa is that it's so close to the shoulder. It's unbelievably close to the shoulder. And the word zulfa is also used for zulfa when a person has very high rank. They're so close to the king. So you could legitimately translate this ayah, وَزُلَفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and getting high ranks in the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for those people that want to obtain true closeness to Allah, to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to stand at night and pray. You have to stand at night and pray. And I love this fact that this ayah said, zulafam, many times in the night, right? Many hours in the night, some hours, some things, right? Because sometimes life really leaves you restless. You know, someone said, insomnia is such a blessing from Allah. I was like, you are a profound person, man, subhanAllah. They said, insomnia is such a blessing from Allah. It's as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, I don't want you to sleep, I want you to talk to me. So get up from your bed and pray to me. And that just, it hits me so hard sometimes. When I think that those nights when I can't rest, I'm just using my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, maybe I should just get up and pray two rakats. Because sometimes life leaves you restless. So Allah Ta'ala understands that. So He said, Zulafa min al-layl. Just get up again and again and again. And maybe just pray a little bit more. Because perhaps Allah is calling you, says, I want to talk to you. I want to get close to you. وَزُلَفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. I want to get close to you in this night. So how about you get up, you know? So pray to me, do some more dhikr, do some more ibadah, hold the tasbih, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. I tell you, if the dhikr doesn't make you fall asleep or make you get some comfort and rest, then shaitan will put you to sleep right away because he doesn't want you to do dhikr. I tell people that, subhanAllah, you're having trouble sleeping. It's either the fact that Allah wants to talk to you, or the fact that you're not doing enough dhikr, because shaitan would have knocked you out right away. So try your best, inshallah, to get up and do some dhikr and cry to Allah, because that's what zulaf is. That's what night is about. It is getting so intimate and so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is another delil for the fact that it maybe is just talking about nafl prayers. مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا فَيَتَوَضَّأُ يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ إِلَّا غَفَرَ لَهُ وَغُفِرَ لَهُ. There's no Muslim that he commits any sin. Then he makes wudu and he prays two rakats, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. SubhanAllah. Why would people ever be burdened by their sins? You should just get up and pray two rakats. The Prophet ﷺ also had said, إِذَا أَعْمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَأَتْبِعْهَا حَسَنَةً تَمْحُهَا. The Prophet said, when you do a bad deed, then follow it up with a good deed. It will erase it. It will erase it. قَالَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَمِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Then Abu Dharr رَضِيَ اللَّهُ said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, is from the good deeds, is it the fact that you can just say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that you can just make the dhikr of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. قَالَ, the Prophet said, هِيَ أَفْضَلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. The Prophet said, it is the best of good deeds to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Sometimes in life we make a mistake. We don't have enough time to pray the two rakats. Immediately, do not wait. If you committed a sin, do not wait. Immediately start doing zikr. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha. Erase the bad deed. Get rid of it as soon as you can. Immediately as soon as it happens. You slipped, you messed up, you looked at something you weren't supposed to look at. She did something she wasn't supposed to do. La ilaha illallah. Make tawbah to Allah. Connect back to Him. Don't ever lose that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know about this, that this idea of this fact of the prayers are a means of people's sins being forgiven? This ayah, the revelation is what? In what context? A man came to the Prophet ﷺ before his prayer. He said it was the Isha prayer. He complained about a sin. This person complained about a sin. What did he do? It was such an egregious thing. First he went to Umar ﷺ and said, oh Umar, I found a beautiful woman. And so I went towards that woman and I ended up kissing her. And this type of thing, it perplexes a lot of our youth, these issues of boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever. And this is something to keep in mind and highlight the fact that if we made a mistake, we're honest to acknowledge the mistake and we're willing to change. This man went to Umar radiallahu and said, I did this bad act. I don't know what to do. So then he said, don't talk about it. Just leave it alone. It's okay. The man, he said, just make tawbah with Allah. Don't bring it up to anyone else, because he's worried that the person get punished, right? It's Medina, right? And so then the man couldn't feel comfortable. So he goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu. So, Abu Bakr, I did such and such with a woman. I feel so miserable right now. What do I do? And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said the same thing. He said that just make tawbah to Allah. Keep it quiet. Don't go up any further. Then he goes up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he just cannot feel happy about himself anymore, that he can be someone who could be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wants his life to be connected again to Allah. So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly and says, Ya Rasulullah, I did this terrible act. What do I do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wait. Okay, it's prayer time. So they prayed. So they prayed Isha. And when that prayer happened, this verse came down. أَقِيمِ الصَّلَىٰ طَرَفَ النَّهَارِ وَزُرَفَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Okay, then after the prayer, the Prophet asked for the man. He said, where is so-and-so person that came? And he said, the person came forward. The Prophet said, did you pray with us? He said, yes. Then the Prophet read the ayah to him and said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. He said, good deeds erase bad deeds. You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. SubhanAllah. What do? When people commit sins, we make them do all these jumping jacks. We make them jump through every single hoop and every single thing and everything like that. La ilaha illallah. Just make sure they become a good person. If they came legitimately thinking they did something wrong, then just tell them, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Just pray two rakats. You'll get connected back to Allah. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Really, wallahi. In our time, it's so hard for people to just stay consistent. You got to encourage people. This is what the Prophet ﷺ did. He read this verse to him and said, good deeds erase bad deeds. You're fine. You're good. And then so the Muslims listened to this and said, what? This guy, he did this type of thing and he's forgiven. Then they said, Ya Rasulullah, lahu khasa, am hiya lahu khasa. Is it specifically for him only? Is it only for him? And you have to love the Sahaba, because the Sahaba were great people. They asked the right question at the right time. So then they asked this question, is it only for him? Balil Muslimina Amma. The Prophet said, no, it's for all Muslims. It's for all Muslims. You messed up. You screwed up. Waman taba ma'aka. You just make tawbah. It's okay. It's fine. Don't kill yourself. Life is a marathon. You don't have time to get, to kick yourself and push yourself down. Shaitan is already trying to push yourself down and hit you so hard. You get up again and you make the two rakats and you keep fighting and you keep going. That's your job.
ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. Beautiful way it ends. It says that is an extraordinary reminder for those who are mindful, or those people that are trying to remember Allah. ذاكرين, those people trying to do ذكر of Allah, trying to stay connected with Allah. This is an extraordinary reminder that Allah does not want to lose your connection with Him. Okay? So He made it very easy that if something happened in life, just make tawbah, make two rakats, do some dhikr, and just keep moving forward. Life is a marathon, man. Life is a marathon. Wasbir, be patient. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجَلَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I tell you, the Quran could say itself, right? What do we need to explain? And be patient, for Allah does not let the reward of the righteous go to waste. Allah does not let the reward of the righteous go to waste. Be patient, okay? For change to happen. People say, look at me, I was such a good person. I did so many things in Ramadan. Look at me now. Okay, man, for change to happen anywhere, you need to be patient, okay? You know, for a person's character to change, if you tell me so-and-so person changed, his character has changed, he's become such a good person, I'll say, how many days has he been like this? They'll say, maybe a day or two. I'll say, no, give me like at least a year. At least a year. Come on, come. You know, something like that. A year, 2 years, 5 years, then okay, I can say that the person changed. I'm not convinced of anyone who says I've changed in a day. You can change in a day, you can easily change back in a day. For change to happen, you have to be patient and consistent. You have to be regular. You have to pray 5 times every day. You have to be very consistent. Do it for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, and then see what happens after you after those 10 months. Your life will be completely different. You'll be a completely different Muslim. If a person can legitimately tell me that they've never made qada the entire year, subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah accept you, brother or sister. Make dua for me, because I need your duas. You are a patient individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do great things with you, mashallah. If you're a person who prays tahajjud regularly, do it consistently. Be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, slips will happen. It's a matter of life. It's not the fact that you are a bad person. It's because you are insan. Human beings, they make mistakes because they are human. It's not because they are evil people. It happens in life where we slip. If you are a legitimately good person, sometimes in life it happens where you just mess up. Okay, sometimes shaitan gets you. Sometimes your nafs will get you. I bet you right after Ramadan, shaitan will get many of us. Okay, it's hard. The wolf, he looks for these sheep that are by themselves. Because we are alone, we stop coming to the masjid, we stop being with the good people. Then what happens is, then shaitan finds us by ourselves, and then he snatches us and he takes us. So you have to make sure you're never alone. It's good to always stay in conversation. It's always good to speak to people. Because why? Because shaitan will get you if you're by yourself. You're a human being, it'll happen, you'll slip. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you not to get bothered by it. You keep doing good deeds. You'll get stronger. Wasbir, just be patient. Be strong on it. Be determined that you will become a good person at the end. If you continue to do good deeds, your body will get stronger. Your soul will get stronger. You'll be able to stand on your own. You'll be able to move on your own. That's what we hope for eventually, that everyone, you know, I see many Muslims, myself included, we're all just babies. We're all just crawling. We're not able to walk yet. When a Muslim can walk now, when they're a true rajul, right? When they're a true person, a true being that can walk on two legs, then mashallah, they're a person who've obtained something, you know, they've received something from Allah. So you will get stronger, but you have to continue to be consistent. You have to be consistent on this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجَلَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah is recording our deeds. He doesn't let it go to waste. Meaning if a person, you know, prays and messes up. One scholar I mentioned it very beautiful. He said that on the day of judgment, a person will come, the book of deeds will be presented to them, and they'll see, and Allah will show the angels, and he'll show everyone, and then the person will be looking at it, and he'll say, Allah will tell him to read his book, and he'll say that so-and-so person, Abdullah, right? He was good, he was doing good, then he committed a sin. Then he made tawbah, he was doing good, then committed a sin. Then he made tawbah. He was doing good, he committed a sin. He made tawbah, you know, again and again and again. And so the person looks at, you know, he looks around, the angels look at him and say, Allah, the angels ask Allah, say, Allah, what does this mean? Allah tells the person and tells the angels, this means that my slave here, he was such a good person that every single time shaitan tried to kick him and keep him down, he got up again and again and again. He never gave up. So Allah says, so I recorded every single one of them, even the bad deeds, I turned them into good deeds. Subhanallah. The reward of a believer may be that they kept struggling throughout their lives. Maybe that's who we are in life, that we just keep struggling. We never stop struggling. And if you, and by the way, if you ever feel like, how could I commit this sin? I mean, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense that He reminded you that you're just a human. You're not an angel. You're not so pious. Relax. So sometimes a mistake will happen because Allah reminds us and tells us that, look, Don't think yourself to be so great. Life is full of mistakes and ups and downs. It's better to be a humble believer than an arrogant worshiper of Allah. May Allah protect us from that. So keep all those things in mind. Life is a marathon. And there's only so much planning you can do, especially if you want to be a person who wants to help the world. And I tell you, this is the next part, which is a beautiful ayah. فَلَوْلَا كَانَ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ. Okay? If it wasn't, مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أُولُو بَقِيَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if only there had been among the generations before your time. Again, it's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm talking about all Muslims. You know, about the people of Nuh, of Hud and Salih, of the people of Lut, and the people of Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, and all the prophets of the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if only there had been among the generations before your time, people with a remnant of good sense. Ulu baqiyya. This is that amazing phrase in the Quran, ulu baqiyya. It is so extraordinary. Like, it's something you got to think about for hours, you know. The word ulu baqiyya, the one translator gave you as people of good sense, right? Remnant of good sense. I want to translate it slightly differently, meaning the people of permanence, the people that are trying to make something real in life, okay? Something permanent is something real. Something temporary is fake, right? Because it doesn't stay forever. Something which is permanent is real. What are the people of permanence? Is if you want something permanent in life, you have to pay attention to it, right? You have to care for it. You have to nurture it. You have to develop it. The best example I can give you is the example of a garden. Okay, so you have a garden outside. You want these types of fruits. You want these types of plants. You want these types of roses. You want all these beautiful flowers, you know? And now you're looking at your garden, right? So what do you have to do every single day? To go out there, make sure the water, you know, make sure you water the plants, make sure they're getting enough sunlight, right? You're checking everything, checking if there are any bees, any flies, whatever, right? You're checking for any pests, right? And you have to protect it. So what do you do every single day when you go out for the garden? Check if there are any weeds, anything which could cause any harm to the plants, because you're trying your best to make sure the garden grows out to be beautiful. It's a long-term project, right? A garden is a long-term project. You wanna have a permanent project. So what do? Every single day, day in and day out, you're checking and checking and checking. You're protecting it, preserving it. You tend to it, you inspect it. You're doing everything you possibly can to make sure that these plants grow up as beautiful as you want them to be, okay? What is Allah Ta'ala telling us? That ulu baqiyya for ourselves, the most beautiful garden in all of existence. The fact is that human beings are the most beautiful garden. If you can make a good human, forget about it. He or she is the most beautiful garden in all of the universe. The fact is that we have to care for ourselves to become true people of permanence. It's a long-term project that you are caring for yourself. You're tending to yourself. You're looking at yourself. You're being your own doctor. Every day you're checking, am I okay now? How's my zikr doing? How's my ibadah doing? How am I doing with sins? Am I doing less sins? Am I doing more sins? You're always checking yourself. What the Arabic term is called muhasaba. You're checking yourself morning and night. Am I doing well? Am I getting better? How about last Ramadan? How about now this Ramadan? Is it temporary? Is it permanent? And so the idea of ulu baqiyya is that these are such permanent people. They're nothing, you know, again, because of the idea of being fake, you know, that I met a lot of people, and you probably met a lot of people in life. You're like, this person doesn't seem like they have anything to provide for the world. Allah knows best. I myself, I'm the worst person. I'm not going to brag about who I am, of course. But the idea is that, you know, sometimes you look around and you're just like, man, the only thing they talk about is sports. And I'm not dissing anyone or anyone who loves sports. If it's something you do on the side, it's a hobby. Everyone has their hobbies that keep them away from other things, you know? But if it becomes the only thing about you, like if you died, let's just say, like if I died and it's like, man, this Molana, the only thing he talked about was sports. Like if that's the only thing you remember for, brother or sister, like maybe we got to think about bigger things, you know? Oh man, subhanAllah, this person died. Man, they started so many waterways. They opened up wells. They helped out people in Africa. They were people that were so behind this effort in Yemen and Syria. These people were so helping the Palestinians. They're trying their best. This person was so concerned with the Uyghurs. MashaAllah, this person was so concerned with the poor. You know, like when you die, subhanAllah, people think about you as such an amazing person. That's a person of permanence. That's a person who is permanent, right? That's a person who remains. So Allah Ta'ala reminds us about this, that they're thinking, these people are thinking about something about foreverness, right? The idea that we're going to live forever. And I got to make sure that my next life is forever. Forget about this life. It's so temporary. So whatever. It comes in, comes out. Youth, age, you know, health, wealth, everything in here is so temporary. Forget it. The hereafter, I got to think about vision. 10, 20 years, 30 years. Where am I going to be? What am I doing in my life? What am I taking care of? You know, everyone has a place in this world to contribute. Okay. Their actions are forever. So they try their best to create these strategies and solutions. You might be a person who's concerned with animals. And that's what you want to do in life. MashaAllah, bismillah, go ahead. Be that person who's permanently engaged in that effort. Maybe you're a person who wants to help out human beings and the poor. That's your effort, mashallah. Maybe you're a person who wants to help out human beings to connect them back to Allah. Mashallah, you are in the greatest of all work. Maybe you're a person who wants to make sure Muslims are staying okay. Alhamdulillah, go become an alim of deen, become a scholar now. You know, because we need more people, I'm telling you. So these people are, their thinking is forever. Their actions are forever. They are legitimately good people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah didn't love them, they would never last. So because they are good people, Allah loves good people, Allah ta'ala makes sure that they last, they stay forever. Not only in this world, that they remember with goodness, but in the hereafter, they're remembered for eternity. They're never forgotten. They never give up. This is what Allah is saying. These people from before you, Allah says, if only there were people like this, that never gave up. I find Muslims always giving up. Right after Ramadan, a million of them give up. They just stop trying. I'm like, what happened? Why did you give up? You were doing so well. Allah gave you a month to fix you. And then you just give up everything? You stop coming to pray? You stop coming to do dhikr? You just give up everything? A Muslim, a true Muslim, is someone who never gives up because they are patient. You cannot get anywhere in life unless you are a patient person. All these people, they short sell everything. They sell out as quick as they can. A true Muslim is patient, okay? Because they are people of commitment. They are people that are looking to change the world. If you're looking to change the world into a better place, you have to be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. Medina wasn't built in a day. Islam wasn't built in a day. It took the Prophet a total of 23 years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made the world into a magnificent place at the time that he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have to forbid. So what is their job? يَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْفَسَادِ. That they forbid the corruption on the earth. Allah says, if only there were human beings before you. This is Allah, God is saying, that if only before you, O Muslims, that there were people, legitimate good people in the world, that tried their best to remove the corruption on the earth. And what does Allah say? If there were such people like that, we would have kept them alive. We would have kept the civilization alive. We would have kept them thriving in the world. We need more people. I tell you, there's so much work to do. If you don't know what to do in life, come to me, sit down with me. I'll find exactly what you need to do. Because I tell you, the amount of work that is there, the fact that you don't know is just because you're not looking around. There's so much to do with children, with young adults, with teenagers, with married couples, with elderly people. There's so much to do. There's so much work. I just think like, how can I do it myself? You know, I wish we had more people, honestly. There's so much work to do in life to make the world a better place. We need more people. Allah says, if there were more people, I would have kept the civilization alive. So then what happens is what? That we don't have these people that are brave enough to call out evil. We need people like this. Too many Muslims are now backing down. They're becoming so scared to speak about haq, to speak about riba, to speak about haram things, to speak about the evils in the world. Just because a million people are doing evil, it will never make it right. If a billion people are disobeying Allah, if a trillion people are disobeying Allah, and you're by yourself, you are still on haq and everyone else is wrong. Because it's necessary to speak against evil when you see it. We need people that are brave enough to call it out. And Allah says, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْهُمْ. Except a few that we saved. There are only a few that we saved. Because in life, there's only the few. Okay? What happened? There was a beautiful riwayah from Umar radiallahu anhu who said, اللهم جعلنا, اللهم جعلني من القليل. Oh Allah, make me from the few. He said, Umar, why do you ask this question? Why do you make this dua? Oh Allah, make me from the few. Allah says, Umar radiallahu anhu says, Allah says throughout the Quran that only very few of my slaves are grateful. Only few of my slaves are the ones who are obedient. Only few of my slaves are the ones who are permanent, right? So Umar radiallahu anhu says, I would want to be from the few. I don't want to be from the many. So in life, when you're finding, Allah is telling us, oh man, there's only 5 Muslims here. There's only 6 Muslims here. There's only 9 Muslims here. Whatever. It's only a few. Allah literally, he told you in the Quran, it's only going to be a few. Why were you expecting trillions of people? Allah said, just a few. And even if you're talking about percentage population-wise, Muslims as a whole are very few compared to the world. It's a few that we saved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So this is the concern. وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. While the unjust pursued the enjoyment of plenty, and they were persisted in sin. Allah says the majority decided to follow the bad, and only few were good. If it was the flip, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Allah says, this is the flip here. If your Lord would never destroy towns unjustly, when the majority of the people are reformers, when people in that town, in that community are legitimately good people, they're trying to fix the world and save the world, Allah says, I will never destroy that town. You're looking at the Muslims and their empires, they lasted for so long. Unbelievable amount of time. Record amount of time in terms of human civilization. Okay? And so what this point that I want to make, inshallah, we'll end with this one, inshallah. There's one more point, inshallah, that we'll do it tomorrow, and then we'll finish up the surah tomorrow, inshallah. The point is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he hears these ayat from the Quran. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِقَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Your Lord would never destroy a people unjustly if and while their people are reforming. They're trying to create a better world. So what was Medina? You know, the Prophet ﷺ receives his ayahs in Makkah, right? What was Medina? Medina is, if you're looking at the word, I explained it one time, it was the idea of the word itself, its root is deen. Medina is the city of deen. It's the city of Islam. When true Islam is in the world, that's what Medina is, right? At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what Medina was, where people were truly Muslim. And so they weren't just concerned about themselves, their families, their friends, they were concerned about the world. And so that city was the first true area of a majority of good people. You know, if you're talking about a city that created so much good in the world, it was Medina. The Prophet ﷺ made it that city. It was his work and his effort that he worked so hard, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to build it. And he built it and he succeeded. And because of that, now today, mashallah, in America, thousands of miles away, we're talking about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're talking about Islam. It's only a testament to the fact that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's work in Medina was so successful. So what we need to do in our life is to convert it, to flip it, to create these good people in the world. And that way we have our own towns and cities which are full of legitimately good people. And you'll see so much khayr spread because of them. We ask Allah to give us that, inshallah. There's one final part in Surah Hud, which is the most extraordinary part of the Surah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to become good people, become consistent people, become regular people even after Ramadan. We ask Allah that if we ever make sins, we come back to Him, make tawbah. We ask Allah to give us that deep connection with Him. That way we never forget Him in any moment of our life, inshallah ta'ala. So tomorrow we'll see everyone, inshallah, for the final part. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.